Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 12, 2025, and today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action, and we're on page 78, the second paragraph, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, through the one paragraph ending with Liable to Drink If We Are Afraid to Face Them. Comments on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Jen P., 12 Traditions, Barbara P., and reading the text are Susan S.H. and Tamara C., and the backup is Judy N. The newcomer greeter is Karen W. Kathy S. is on announcements, and the host of the second hour is Christine G. The reference numbers for Tuesday, February 11, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 22,155, that's 22155. For the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 22,156, that's 22156. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Katie. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, good morning. This is Jen P., a compulsive overeater in New Jersey, recovering one day at a time. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen P. I will now ask Barbara P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Barbara P., compulsive overeater, recovered by the grace of God. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to play principles before personalities. Well, thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 78, the second paragraph. Most alcoholics owe money, reading through the whole paragraph, ending with liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Comments on that one paragraph only. I will ask Susan S.H. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. Thank you. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. I kind of focused on the fear. I didn't have a lot of owing money. That wasn't a lot, but nevertheless, I find it interesting that this paragraph talks about we do tell them that we're sorry and that it's okay to tell them that, you know, we have been in an addiction that has made us difficult people and we're trying to do better. It seems like sometimes we're not advised to go ahead and say it, but I guess the point is to go in prayerfully. Ask God what is the right way to deal with this, and listen to the advice of a sponsor. Deal with any lingering fear first, and I have directions for that, and particularly on page 68, and I do review that when a fear has me in its grip, and that unfortunately is more often than I'd like. I got to admit. We must lose our fear of creditors, and it takes me to 68. I have directions, and I'm given help and guidance when I use those directions. In a nutshell, it works when I work it. So I need to work it in everything I do. And that's definitely not 3 minutes, but that's about the extent of my thoughts on this paragraph, and I will pass.
Okay, thank you, Susan S.H., for getting us started. We're on page 78, the second paragraph. Most alcoholics owe money, commenting only on that one paragraph. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So who would like to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Janet B.
Janet B.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Did you get Lisa B.?
I did. Lisa B.,
thank
Janet
you.
B., Christina J. Who else?
Lisa M.
Virginia Lisa. N.
Virginia N. Who was the other? There was someone else. Marcy or something?
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Marjo.
Marjo. Okay, let's stop there. That's a good list. We have Lisa B., Janet B., Christina J., Lisa M., Virginia N., Tamara C., and Marge O. Go ahead, Lisa B., followed by Janet B.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. I really want to share, you know, at least once. I'd like to share once a week, and this was a time for me to share. So I hope that I can share some experience, strength, and hope. I did have an instance where I was not forthcoming with my city here on taxes that I needed to pay them for my business. I was dishonest. And, you know, what I really need to share on is just how in my disease of compulsive overeating, you know, I don't want to face things and I like to keep secrets. And that stuff is going to keep me sick and stuck and never getting recovered. I need this. I'm doing this for the light of that connection with my higher power, my creator. That's the hope for me. You know, that's the prize, that personality change and to have a connection, a relationship with God. So I was able to address this in my inventory. And then I found it very helpful to go to recovered fellows that had a length of time in the program and a lot of experience, and I asked for their experience, strength, and hope. And I did go to my tax office and disclosed that I am a member of a program and that this is of vital importance, that I make this right as best I can. And then I shared with them, you know, what I did, and they had me put it in writing, and they asked for me to tell them what I should have paid and what all of that. I just put it all in writing. And I was scared to death, you know, I really was, but I didn't want to just keep letting fear rule my life. And this set an example for me, and it showed me that whatever was going to happen, it's in God's hands. And they came back, they gave me a number, and I paid it. And today, you know, the way I continue with my recovery is not to brush things aside and put things in corners and cover them up. You know, I have to be forthcoming with another recovered fellow, with God in an inventory. And I was able to get free, you know, of that. And just that horrible self-loathing of that instance, you know, wasn't there anymore. So I hope that that helps someone, but the program, it works. You know, I do have neutrality today. I'm happy, joyous, and free for the most part, but I still have bumps and it's a bumpy ride at times, but I'm recovered. And I'm so grateful. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. Janet B., you're up, followed by Christina J.
Hey, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So it talks about, yeah, fear of creditors. And for me, it was like fear of amends. So I remember I was about 6.5 years into Overeaters Anonymous, still binging, unable to get abstinent. And I was at an OA convention, actually eating compulsively at the convention. And I heard a woman stand up and say she hadn't binged in a year. And my 6.5 years, I think my record was 2 weeks. Most of the time, I couldn't even make it to work without binging. And I talked to her, and she told me to go read the first 164 pages of the book. I did it that night. And the next day, she said, are you willing to do everything in this book? And I said, no. And I said, there's this one amend I am not willing to make.
because I had faked a rape to get attention from this boy I liked. I didn't want to go back to him, and I didn't want to go back to the hospital where I had a fake rape exam. And she just said to me, are you willing to trust that by the time you get to your eighth step, you'll be a different person? And I thought about it, and I said, okay, I can do that. And as I went through the steps, by the time I got to the eighth step, I was a different person, not because I did anything great, but because God came into my life, because that's what these steps do. They allow God to come in and take over and do like a renovation job on our souls, so that I did go back to that boy and make amends. I did go back to the hospital and make amends, because this process, these 12 beautiful steps change us. They change us so that we're not the like selfish, self-centered people we are. And when we get changed in that process, something else miraculous happens. The obsession to eat goes away. God just removes the food obsession. And that is just one of the like greatest, most beautiful miracles of this program. So for anyone who's struggling, we just have to take the first step. We just have to find ourselves a sponsor who knows this book, who's willing to take our hand and put it in the hand of God. And then God can do that renovation job so that we lose our fear of creditors and really our fear of just about everything. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet B. Okay, Christina J., you're up, followed by Lisa M.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. I just went through 10 days of helping my mom pass, and I didn't eat. Miracle. Didn't eat. I don't want to eat. I don't want to numb out from the raw feelings at all. I want to feel them because I got to get through them, just like this kind of stuff right here. Before I had program, when I would do something wrong, I would go to my grave to keep it a secret because I needed to be validated. And if I was rejected by anyone, I had a really trigger-sensitive heart to rejection. And if I did something wrong and I had to tell somebody, oh, my God, you know, that would never do. I lived my life in fear of rejection. So how would I ever consider going to anybody to tell them anything? And before program, I didn't realize I was ever going to have to do that. And I manipulated. I can get by with not telling. I knew how to tell the greatest lie and get by. And I had all kinds of ways of stealing money. Not only stealing food, that's stealing money. My boss paid me under the table for years, and not years, but a couple of instances a few years back. Even in relapse, as I went in and out of relapse, I would steal food. I was stealing money all through program, through stealing food. So I have to make amends for these things because I can't die with anything on my consciousness. This is a journey to freedom of the soul, complete freedom. So, you know, we have to, this program helps us, though. We don't have to try to forge forward alone, control it, manipulate it, figure out a way we're going to say it. The big book lays it out for us perfectly. And if we're afraid, as many have said, do it scared. Take God with you. Put the armor of God around you. Your sponsor will help you. People in the program will help you. And you move forward. And you sit in front of that person or whatever you're going to do. And you tell your truth. And by God, it's freeing. And they may hate you and they may say, oh, you're a shithead and all this stuff, but you cleared your side and you don't have to do it again. And it's humbling and it's real. There's no, you know, there's no place in our lives to F around anymore. How long has this addiction stalled our lives? How long have our character defects and our wounds held us back from living? This is a program of freedom, this journey to freedom. Take it. It's right here in front of you. You know, put aside all those disease voices that tell you, oh, this is too hard. I don't want to do this. I have to weigh and measure my food. I have to do this. It's just all BS. So anyway, it really helped me, this book, and it helped me get through this time with my mom. And I'm so grateful to be able to sit down and journal and write to God about my feelings and to have fellows hear me in my 11 steps. You will get through anything in life in this program. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christina J., and I'm so lost. Okay, Lisa M., you're up, followed by Virginia N.
Good morning. My name is Lisa M. from Virginia, and thank God I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Thanks, everybody, for doing service here at this meeting. And for me, I stole a lot of food from grocery stores. I would specifically go to certain stores and the bulk section, just get the food and start eating it while I'm walking through the grocery store. And a lot. And when I came into this program and talked with the sponsor, and I realized that was a retribution, I owed money to the grocery store that I stole one. There was one predominant one. It's a chain. And so I was terrified. I did not know how I was going to do it. In my mind, I thought they were going to lock me up for stealing the food. And it was just a very scary experience. And one day I was out walking at lunchtime, and God just urged me to do it because I've been delaying. I've been putting it off. And he just said, do it, do it. And so I went to, from the aid of my sponsor, we had already worked out the plan. I just didn't know when I was going to do it. I went to one of the chain. I didn't go to all the different ones. And I had cash money in hand of what I thought was you know, a good amount, or, you know, I had to estimate some. And I went in and I asked to speak to a manager, and they shaking in my boots the whole time. The manager came out and I explained to her what I was doing and that I had stolen a lot of food and eaten it while I was walking through the grocery store. And here's some money that I think will compensate. And I did tell her I was in a 12-step program, and it was such a beautiful experience because she shared that she was also in a 12-step program, a different program, and that she knew exactly what I was doing. And there was just a weight lifted. And she's like, I don't want your money. You know, she wouldn't accept it. I said, please take it. And so she took half and she donated it. They have that particular grocery store has a food distribution site in their store, and she said, okay, I'll take it. I'll take half and I'll give it toward our food bank for people who need it. And it was just, you know, all that anxiety, all that fear was just lifted, you know, and it was just such a beautiful experience to have the manager also be a 12-stepper and know exactly what I was doing. And it was just so freeing. I left that grocery store 10 pounds lighter, not physically, but definitely emotionally. And it was God as to when he told me to go, and just being open and being obedient to him. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lisa M. Okay, Virginia N., you're up, followed by Tamara C.
Good morning. This is Virginia N. from Southwest Virginia. And I definitely had amends to make financially. And I know that this program says I have to be vigorously honest in all my affairs. And one was a previous share about walking around in the grocery store and eating sweets while I was shopping. I would put healthy food in my grocery store, in my cart, but I would be eating junk food that I didn't pay for. I've moved away, very far away from those stores that I did that to. So one thing that I did with that was I figured out how much I thought I had, you know, stolen, and I made monthly donations to a food bank. And in another instance, it was my career. I was not always at my best at work because I came to work hungover on sugar, or I was eating sugar all day and would be, you know, out of it and trying to do work, and it didn't get done properly. And so I had to really think about how I wasn't honest with my customers and that I didn't do a good job on the work they wanted me to do. And so that was 20 years ago, but it was a horse business. So I decided, you know, where could I donate that I didn't know how to get a hold of my customers from that long ago, but I found a local horse rescue, and it was quite a bit of money, and I just slowly gave donation every month. The two I had to do in right to the person was one, don't, you know, food addict, where did I get a job? A bakery. So I was always eating food there. And I did go to that gentleman and tell him that I took food and that I didn't pay for it. And he didn't want my money, but I said, I really need to do this. You know, I know it was wrong. And he asked me to donate it to the local library because he liked to read. So, and the other one was a tax situation, and I had to go back and admit my wrong, and it worked out. And so it's just freeing to take care of my side of the street and to do the right thing, because that's what I have to keep on doing in all my affairs. So I hope my share can help someone else figure out how they can be free of that hanging over their heads. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Virginia N. And Tamara C., you're up, followed by Marge O.
Thank you. This is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. What I'm taking from this is, that I don't dodge the people that I've harmed, either by stealing or in other ways. I've got to lose my fear of them. And so I just have to be real and not avoid owning responsibility for my behavior. I didn't have a lot of experiences of owing a lot of money, but there were things that I needed to look at, like books that people had loaned me and I had never returned. There was an employer, I worked for a woman in her home and discovered a bag of food. And I took a little handful thinking, well, she won't miss this. And then my disease kicked in. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I went back several times and took another handful. And that just, I never told her. I was sneaky about it. And that always bothered me. These kinds of things, I had a fear of admitting that I would do such a thing. And just yesterday, I discovered that because I had put off doing a task, someone else had to do it for me. And so in a way, you know, that's a debt that I owe, that person had to do extra work because of me, and I did that harm to her. And so I want to, like, protect my reputation and make people like me, but this big book is instructing me, just show up, just be honest, take responsibility for the harm that I did. Don't sacrifice my integrity for the sake of my reputation. And why? Because I'm learning how to live in this world with other people and to grow toward the sane and sound ideals that my higher power helped me shape in my relationships. And when I can just be real and just say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I did, and I regret it, and this is how I'd like to, change my behavior in the future, then I'm a lot more open to meaningful relationships. And I'll still do harm, but a lot less harm because I'm not so distracted by trying to impress you. And so I just get to practice this authentic way of living. And I do find that fear of people is diminishing. I'm free to be of real service and to live the life I truly want to live when I don't dodge my creditors. Thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. Okay, Marge O., you're up, and then we will take another list of names. We're on page 78, the second paragraph, Most Alcoholics Owe Money. Go ahead.
Good morning, Katie. Marge O. from Massachusetts, and just wanted to say my piece regarding the step, because I lived in fear for many, many, many years. And I had no idea that when I did these things, that it was all part of my disease. I just thought I was a sneaky person who just thought whatever I did was okay because I needed to do what I did. And I didn't realize until I came to program and did a few short steps and got stuck after 6 and 7. Because I finally learned to make a list, but boy, I sure didn't want to have to go to anybody. I surely didn't. And I would put that off and put that off and live with those terrible feelings of what a bad person I was. And I spent a lot of time trying to prove to everybody and myself, no, I'm still a good person. I'm still a good person. Not realizing that taking things from other people, using their products, say, for my own good use, and just taking money that I honestly believe, I'll put that back. And I didn't. And living with that terrible, turned over stomach that just was awful. And what it did was I stayed away from certain people because I was afraid they were going to find out what I had done. And every time that I chatted with my sponsor and said, these I never want to look at, and yet I know I had to because I just couldn't go on. I might as well just leave the program as to live like that. And I have told you this before, that I have had to spend a lot more money to correct my thievery, if you will, than if I had faced the facts way back when the incident happened. So to live in that kind of fear and to be free of it and to know that, yeah, I'm a sick person. I'm not necessarily a bad person, although I certainly thought I was a terrible person. And by staying in touch and doing sponsoring and doing what I can a day at a time for people, not just people in program, but just everyday people, I have a freedom that I had no idea was available to me. So post-haste, everybody that's looking at something and saying, oh, this I can never face. We can because we have support now. And whether it goes well or not, the fact that I was able to face it made all the difference in the world in my life. So I thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Marge O. The shares have just been awesome this morning. So I do have an announcement to make. A Vision for You convention is back. Are you ready? 7th to 9th, 2025, however many months away that is, at the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. The Power of the Big Book Weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Come join A Vision for You as the Big Book is brought to life through teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. And registration is open online on our website, avision4you.info, and you can just find all the information there. So let's open it up for more shares on page 78, the second paragraph, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, that whole paragraph. So if you have not shared this week, give me your first name and last initial and where you're from.
Mary C.
Sarah F.
Cheryl L.
Johan N.
Sarah F.
Johan N.
Okay, just one moment. I don't know why. It's always harder to hear the second group. Okay, I have a Mary, a Sarah, a Cheryl, Johan M. I don't have any initials there. And who else?
Rivka R, did you get?
Krista R?
Yeah.
Okay, nope. Okay.
Lee H.
Cheryl Ann M.
In New York.
I'm sorry, I heard two people at the same time.
Jana V. in New York.
Cheryl Ann
M. Michelle.
Rhode Island.
Okay, this is who I have. I have Mary, Sarah, Cheryl, which it may be the Cheryl in more of a name than that, Johan M., Krista R., Lee H., Michelle. And anyone else that I did not just name?
Donna V, New York.
Donna V, New York.
No, Jana V, J-A-N-A.
Oh, gosh. Sorry about that.
Cheryl Ann M, Rhode Island.
Priscilla H.
Okay, Priscilla H, we're going to stop with you. And how do you spell the Darylina? Something like that. Can you spell that, please?
Do you mean Cheryl Ann M, Rhode Island?
Okay, Cheryl Ann M.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, so I have Mary, Sarah, Cheryl, Johan M, Krista R, Lee H, Michelle, Jana V, Cheryl Ann M, and Priscilla H. And hopefully we'll have time for all of you. Go ahead, please, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary Claire C. from New Jersey, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. Today I have 58 days abstinence, and I've never been able to do that before, but because I'm working with a recovered sponsor who is very familiar with the Big Book, I was able to get the 58 days, and I'm working on step 6 right now. And I'm thankful for the opportunity for this transformation and for a miracle and to be a change agent of God. Growth isn't always comfortable, and I'm learning that as I write out my defects of character. And with the presence of gratitude, I can be aligned with God's plan. I'm choosing to be beyond the problem of compulsive overeating, and I know that God has carried me through my life, and he's not going to drop me now. So I look forward to hearing the rest of the shares. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations on 58 days. Okay, Sarah, you're up, followed by Cheryl.
I think Sarah with a D F.
Okay.
From Virginia. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, this is
Sarah.
This is Sarah F. And I didn't really have a whole lot of instances where I, you know, owed money per se, but one thing I had done pretty much on all of my spotty job history is whenever I had done telework, I had slept a large part of the time that I was supposed to be working. And so I presented this to my sponsor at the time. And what we decided that I was going to do was to volunteer work, to donate my time to an agency. So she had me estimate how many hours I slept, and I ended up working every Saturday for 6 months at a homeless at a store that raised money, a thrift store that raised money for a homeless shelter. And I folded and sorted clothes and put price tags on them and stuff like that. And I did that, and it was pretty darn boring. That what it's taught me was when I telework today, I do not sleep on the job. And even if there's nothing particularly that I'm supposed to be doing at that particular moment, that doesn't give me the right to sleep while my employer is expecting me to be on standby working. So I think it's been a pretty good amends, and I just wanted to say thank you so much, and I pass.
Okay, thank you, Dara F. Sorry for messing up the names. And I believe there's a Cheryl, followed by Johan M.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Cheryl L., calling in this morning from Florida. Thank you for your service, and thank you for this beautiful meeting. You know, listening to the shares this morning really moved. I owed, period. My amends, my defects of character were that I stole. I was looking to see what I could get from everybody. Anybody who was in my life, you know, the relationship was based on I'm going to do this for you, but you better do this for me. Sometimes I wasn't even doing anything for anybody, just looking, what can I get from this relationship? And so my amends to my husband were, you know, I took advantage of him in his financial standing. I took advantage of the fact that I could work part-time, you know, I could go to school. I could indulge in all of these, you know, fantasies that I had because he was supporting me. And I went to him and I said, honey, I want to be a responsible partner. I want to be financially, you know, a partner with you, not depending on you to take care of me. You know, at work, I needed to make sure I wasn't stealing time from my employer, you know, doing things off the job that really, you know, doing things on the job that really I should be doing off the job. With my people, with my friends in program, I was always looking for favors from them. Did I express gratitude to them? You know, did I try to look for opportunities to be of service to them? You know, this is the new attitude that I have today. You know, that I go forth each day and I look at my life and I say, how can I be of service to you? You know, how can I bring a recovered Cheryl to this relationship, to this situation, to this job? How can I be a responsible partner, a responsible, you know, coworker, a responsible employee, a responsible sponsor and friend and family member? You know, and all of these things are, this is how I change one day at a time. You know, with the help of a loving God and with all of you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl L. Johan M., you're up, followed by Krista R.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you guys are in the world. Hi, my name is Johan N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Sweden. Thank you so much for the service today, all the great shares, and an amazing paragraph as well, and I can really identify with this one. I came into the rooms 10 years ago, a bit more than 10 years ago, and I worked through the steps and, you know, starting to make amends. And I owed a lot of money. I had a lot of personal debts to people. I had credit cards. I had different kind of loans, things like that. And when I started to look at all the debt I had, and you know, I was overwhelmed. I was like, how am I ever gonna be able to pay this back? But, you know, I talked to my sponsor and he said that you exactly like it says in this paragraph. You just, you know, you confront your, you start a payment plan. And that's what I did, you know, a bit over 10 years ago. And just a few months ago, I was debt free. It took me 10 years to pay back all the money that I borrowed and things like that, and today I'm free of it. I could never imagine myself being here when I was sitting, you know, at that at that place where I was 10 years ago. But you know, I did it, and with humility. You know, I wanted to come in with a big plastic bag with thousands of dollars and just put it on the table of the people that I owe money, saying like, here's your money, and pay them off right away. But I couldn't do that. I didn't have the measure. I didn't have the money to do that. But I went to them. I made amends. I made payment plans, and I kept my payment plan. And it was awful in the beginning, you know, doing these payments. I hated it. Like I didn't have a big income or anything in the beginning of this journey. But, you know, after a while, I started to feel good about it. After a few years, I actually felt good about paying, you know, doing these payments every month, you know, paying off. And, you know, the day came when the payments were done. So I'm so incredibly happy for this program that I get to live, you know, as a recovered compulsive overeater today, one day at a time, and that there is a solution. And that today I have a moral compass, you know, and today I do the right thing. And I also went back to a grocery store where I used to work for years dealing things. And I called this guy 20 years later. And, you know, I had calculated how much I owed and
Time,
how much
please.
I stole for. Thank you. And I paid the money back, you know, and because it was the right thing to do. So, yeah. It's an incredible thing, you know, amends, and it really works. It does. And I stop there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Johan M. Krista R., you're up, followed by Lee H.
Hi, I think it was Rivka R. from Baltimore.
Great. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I wrote the wrong name.
Thank you so much for your service. Rivka R., recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Yeah, I you know, also didn't have a lot of financial amends. I had a huge living amends to my husband for not being a financially responsible partner and all the harm that I caused him, you know, not being able to stick to a budget because I needed all my binge foods and not willing to work together with him and being so defensive when he would confront me and I would, you know, have all the reasons why I was doing, you know, not being able to hold on to a budget. But, and I always, you know, paid, you know, when I was walking through a store or whatever, like I would always pay for what I ate because I thought I was an honest person. There was a time when I worked for a month for a convenience store and when I was 20 in San Diego, California. And, you know, the first week I paid for all the candy bars that I ate. And the second week I realized that my whole paycheck was going to candy bars, so that's when I realized that, well, I can't work here and not keep something sweet in my mouth all the time, so I have to eat candy bars. And for the next 3 weeks, I just ate candy bars, you know, every minute I was there and didn't pay for them, but I didn't think I was a thief or anything because, you know, it just was the way I had to function, to work there. So when it came time to, you know, make amends, I couldn't find this convenience store anymore. So I did, you know, pay what I thought, you know, I had eaten, which was quite a lot of money to a, you know, food bank. But what I love about this paragraph is that what I'm really hearing from it is about willingness and like the amazing miracles that God arranges when we're willing. So there was one amends that I wanted to make to somebody who I didn't know how to get a hold of her. She lived in a different country. I had lost contact with her, you know, many years before. And there was one day when my three-year-old grandson, who was, you know, they were living in Pittsburgh at the time, and he was playing with his my daughter-in-law's phone, and somehow on a WhatsApp came up a picture of, you know, this daughter-in-law's you know, icon to the phone of this person that I had wanted to make amends to in a different country. And they didn't even know, she didn't know who she was, but she saw the last name and she saw, you know, the picture and she said, oh, that looks like, you know, one of my sons. And so she got actually contacted my daughter-in-law and said, you know, are you related to Rivka? And so she said, yes, that's my mother-in-law. Anyway, I just thought, you know, we made contact. Thank God I was able to make amends. We've had a wonderful relationship since. But I thought, oh, my goodness, when, you know, God, I really want to make amends to this person. I don't know how to find her. And this whole miracle amazing situation, yeah, happened because you know, with God, there's anything can happen. So anyway, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, Lee H., followed by Michelle, and Sorry, but Jana, Cheryl Ann M., and Priscilla H., I think you will have to wait for the second hour.
Well, thank you so much, Katie. This is Lee H. in Tennessee, and I'm gratefully recovering and love the shares so far. And I don't know how this share is going to come out, but I didn't have any money to deal with. But like so many people have shared, it was other things that I owed people. I love the way the steps build on each other. And because in step five, I got near to my creator and had a spiritual experience, and I started walking hand in hand with my higher power, I was able to start working on step six and seven, eight and nine. And the fear was what I was dealing with a lot with the amends, just wanting to impress people, as somebody said, that jumped out at me, that I was such a shadow of a person growing up. And, the word dodge, I dodged people, and I sneaked around. With my husband, I sneaked around. I would eat candy. I would eat chocolate. And, but another thing I used to do is I would go out and spend money on clothes because the other clothes didn't fit. And so I spent lots of money on different sizes of clothes because of the food. And I would come in from shopping and I would leave the bag in the car so that he wouldn't see that I had spent more money. And so that's what I had to make amends for to him. I think that, I was always just trying to look good, but there was just really nothing inside of me. And I would fill that emptiness with food and shopping in order to keep up this, it was like a mask. And I had an experience recently where I was going to go to lunch with a high school friend who used to be Miss Everything. And I was such a shadow of a person in high school, and I really didn't want to go. I didn't have anything in common with this person. But my higher power said go, and so I went. And it turns out that we have something in common, and actually the topic of the big book came up, which just was my higher power showing me, yes, you don't have to fear people anymore. Just show up, because I've given you so much through these steps. So that's my share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lee H. Okay, Michelle, you're up, and you'll probably be our last.
Hi. Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered in Oklahoma. It's so great to hear all these shares because, one more time, I realize I'm not alone. I had to go make the grocery store amends and for a 12-year relapse, and I did it. And I had to leave my apocalyptic mind in the car because I realized that my biggest fear wasn't in doing it. It was in the outcome. So I would create this outcome, which, of course, jail, being flogged in the public square, live organ donation, these just extreme outcomes, which had not one shred of validity. But that fear for me is a form of control. And so I'm reminded, I love that phrase in the 12 and 12, let's not practice prudence and evasion. Let's not talk prudence while practicing evasion. And so I went and I made these amends. And one thing that, I felt so great after doing it, and it helped me in my self-acceptance of being a compulsive eater and a bulimic, which was the biggest source of shame in my entire life. And being able to make restitution, it's the greatest gift. And I go into these places now and I smile and wave and I hold my head up high. And if I walk out of the store and they miss something, I go in and I take it back. Not because I'm noble or good. It's just because it doesn't belong to me and I need to pay for it. So, you know, once I know the truth, I can't not know it. And trying to bury and hide out of fear of what's going to happen is one of my biggest character defects, and that's being emotionally invested in an outcome, which is doom and gloom and insurmountable. And so as I look back on it now, how vital this step is, and I just remembered an amend that I have to go make working in a restaurant where we could eat whatever we wanted. I took that to the nth degree, and my motive was not sustenance. My motive was binging. And this guy is a tyrant. Don't want to go do it? No, I don't want to go do it. But freedom from fear is greater than freedom from want. And I don't want to duck behind a pot of palm. I'm going to need a knee replacement if I don't do it. I am so grateful. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you so much, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Our share ID for today, Wednesday, February 12th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,158. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Katie. Tamara C. here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.